This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. This past Saturday at a ceremony at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, Governor J.B. Pritzker awarded five Illinoisans the state's highest civilian honor for professional achievement and public service. The Order of Lincoln was awarded to former longtime Secretary of State Jesse White and Valerie Jarrett, the longest-serving senior advisor to a U.S. president. Another honoree was Reginald Petty. He's an East St. Louis historian and civil rights activist. Now 90 years old, he talked with STLPR Metro East reporter Will Bauer about his work during the civil rights movement and with the East St. Louis Historical Society.
Did you grow up in East St. Louis?
I always tell people I was conceived in East St. Louis, and because the two hospitals there were white only. But I was born in Barnes Hospital in St. Louis in the black section. But I went back to East St. Louis 2 weeks after that, so I was raised in East St. Louis. Yeah.
And what do you remember about East St. Louis at that time?
At that time, it was very segregated. And there was two or three black sections, one near the on the south side, and the other one was near the where the factories were, aluminum ore, one area, but another area was where meatpacking companies were in that area, and those were kind of the black black areas, and other areas were white only. It was very segregated. All the schools were segregated. The employment was segregated.
So from East St. Louis, you ended up helping out with voting rights down in the South, and you had worked with John Lewis and Martin Luther King Jr. So how did you kind of get involved in that effort?
When I was in Chicago, about 1960 or so, I became active with an organization called African American Heritage Association with Dick Gregory and a number of other people. And I was also in the University of Chicago at that time. That's when I really got active. And when I left there and I went down to Carbondale to graduate school, and I met some people there. And after that, I really went south and spent some time with John Lewis and Stokely Carmichael and Angela Davis, some of those people that we created the, what was then called SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and we were a group that kind of formed that. And that was at the time a kind of a branch of what Martin Luther King was doing and some others. But we were the kind of the younger group, and we kind of wanted to focus more on the grassroots kind of thing and as against the ministers. So we had some kind of conflict at that time, but we did some of the demonstrations, and we were focusing more out of Jackson, Mississippi, doing the voter registration, and we had some records. We did 30-something arrests in a year or so, and but we were focusing on voter registration. We were at Selma, and I was at two of the Selma marches, and with Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson and some of the others.
You ended up pivoting to public service and job and educational training here at home and abroad. What was it that made you interested in getting into that line of work?
I think it was more just a thing of wanting to make change. You know, we saw very early on that we didn't like, you know, kind of what was happening in the world. You know, we were seeing the, rich people and the poor people, you know, and we wanted to see poverty erased. We really didn't believe that a country of this wealth, you know, there should be, you know, poverty. And we thought that was something that should be focused on. And when I went overseas, certainly I saw the same thing. I was seeing the, European groups who had come through Africa and who had, who were getting rich. From what we saw in South Africa, for example, with the diamonds and all of this, the people who were there being poor, and we thought this was just something that was wrong. And I was lucky enough to meet with Mandela, and and his family and get to know him when I was Peace Corps director in Swaziland, the country right next door. So I was able to meet with him.
So at some point after this long career in public service, you returned to East St. Louis.
Yes.
What brought you back?
I want to say God did. The reason I'm saying this is because I was in a coma for 3.5 months in D.C. And when I woke up, I had not planned on coming back. I planned on going back to Africa. But when I came out of the coma, it was as if something that said, you need to go back to East St. Louis. My parents were still here, so I couldn't go back overseas at the time, so I just came back to East St. Louis. And it was almost as if, I guess that's what I was supposed to do. So I came back and just did a few things back here.
Well, tell me more about some of those things that you did in East St. Louis. I know you've been involved with the Historical Society. So what have you kind of learned since you've been doing that line of work?
Well, I guess just coming back, seeing the East St. Louis that I had seen growing up, and where it was close to 100,000 population, and now it's maybe 15 or so, and just seeing the people who had moved out, how the city had changed, and my thinking of what is it that we can do. And so I began to. And one of the things that struck me, too, the thing I had learned over time, that it was critical that the population knew the history, knew why things had changed. And so a lot of people didn't know about the 1917 race riot. As I began to talk to people about that, and that was critical, because that made a big difference in kind of what was happening today. But yet, at the same time, there were also a lot of historical figures around the country who were from East St. Louis. A lot of people weren't aware of Donald McHenry, the UN ambassador from East St. Louis. And I talked to people. A lot of people knew him, but they didn't know he was from East St. Louis. Harry Edwards. Well, the people who had their fists up in the air with the Olympics.
At the Mexico City Olympics in the late 60s.
The fellow who organized that was from East St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
Harry Edwards.
Yep, I didn't know
and,
that.
And he also is on the board of directors of San Francisco 49ers right now. And he's a doctorate degree, and he's a famous person who has done a lot of things like this. Abraham Bolden, he was the first black Secret Service agent from East St. Louis. So there are a lot of people. People know Jackie Joyner, Kersey, people like that. So the people who were there didn't know about these people, but yet these were success stories. East St. Louis had always had the reputation of having great athletic programs, but not the other people. But anyway, just a lot of people from East St. Louis. And so we felt that the history, and as it is now, the eighth grade in East St. Louis has to have East St. Louis history. And Jay Willis was the one who really got that through. So there are things there now that are changing. And so we're hoping that just having this kind of information. We also have a list of about 20-something millionaires from East St. Louis around the country. So we're trying to get some of them. We're just trying to get some people involved back to East St. Louis, alumni, and then we're hoping these changes can take place. And so my coming back was just something that should have happened, I guess.
So what's left to be uncovered or better understood about East St. Louis history?
I think of it as something that one needs to understand, that just because you are your community is poor, starts off a certain way, doesn't mean that change can't take place. And that change takes place through organizing. You have to pull together certain information. You have to create certain institutions, educational institutions. And you move from there. And if you can get the alumni people who have been successful, involved, a lot of changes can take place. And but one of the things that is that is bothering us now is that we're finding that even though we work hard, we're finding that the president President Trump right now, if I can say that, some of the things that he's doing is setting things back. The money that he's been cutting back on education, the money for a place like East St. Louis, you have a lot of people whose meals are taking place at the schools, and him cutting back on that, and just so many of the institutions that are coming out now that we thought we had stopped. The idea of dealing with the possibility of cutting voting rights bills and all these kind of things that we thought we had taken care of. So we're now having to refight, I guess, some battles that we thought were over with. So this is a major thing that's happening right now. We're having to demonstrate, and the King's March and all of these that we thought that these things were finished. So we're finding the battles that we thought we had won are now having to be refought again. And that's the major thing right now, I guess.
The Order of Lincoln Award is given as a distinguishment of the highest achievement in professional and public service in the state. What does that award mean to you?
It's kind of hard for me to say. I don't think much of what I've done over the years. I've just done these things because they were right to do. But obviously there are a number of people who wanted to reward me and say thanks, you know, and I said, okay. Jay Willis was one of the people who had been telling people that I should get some award or something. So I appreciate it. If younger people can see what I've done as being something that they should do, that's kind of what I think more about it. As I did in looking back on some of my heroes growing up, then maybe that can be some advantage.
That's East St. Louis civil rights activist and historian Reginald Petty. He spoke with STLPR Metro East reporter Will Bauer.
Today's episode was produced by Will Bauer.
Edited by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer. Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.